You can't just wake up one day and you're just like, hey, I'm an amazing husband, father, business. It just doesn't work like that. It's addition through subtraction. What can I subtract from my life that no longer serves me or, you know, gives time in the areas that I say are a priority to me?
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley. Today we have River Skinner.
Yep.
On the show, vice president of G3 Solar.
Yep.
You've been in the game, knocking doors for a hot minute, teaching people how to knock doors.
Yep.
That's one of the reasons why I wanted to, you know, have you on the show, right? Like, leading people, managing people, you know, you're inside of the organization helping structure and build a business, right? And that's like one of the hardest things in the world to do. First off, my curiosity was, I mean, there's a lot of different solar companies, right? Like, I mean, they're a dime a dozen right now, right? It's kind of like the hot thing, you know, there's a lot of money in it, which makes it cool, makes it sexy, makes it attractive for people to want to, you know, be in solar or start a solar company, right?
Yep.
What makes G3 Solar different and what attracted you to that organization versus, you know, the 100 other ones or thousands of other ones that are out there right now?
Well, we just transitioned over to G3 about a year ago yesterday, in fact. And the biggest thing that attracted me to G3 was I've known the owner for 10 years.
Gotcha.
I've known the owner for a long time. His name's Tyrell Gray. Tyrell's an awesome dude. And knowing him for a long period of time, I've known that he has a lot of integrity. They've been installing solar for a long period of time, but I just believed that the owners of the company, they wanted to do things right. They have integrity. But the main thing is I see with most solar companies is they're not true, or let's put it this way, they're not real business owners.
Yeah.
They're just, they're sales guys.
Yeah.
And they run their business off like the top line revenue.
Yeah.
And I've seen it kind of put a lot of companies into a bad position because they spend like crazy.
Yeah.
And they don't know the financials well enough. And so I really liked G3 because I could trust that they knew the financial side of things really, really well. They had a business background as opposed to a sales background.
Yeah.
We had our group had a sales background, so we can come and sell. You make sure we don't get over our skis.
Yeah.
All while leading us with integrity and making sure we're doing it the right way.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about that prior to hopping on, how just because you're great at sales or you're great at one thing doesn't mean you're going to be great at everything, right? Yeah. Like, that's cool that, you know, you can knock a door and make sales and bring in revenue.
Yeah.
But there's far more to an actual business than just revenue.
Oh yeah.
And I think that that's what really slaps new entrepreneurs in the face. They're like, oh, there's this notification or this, or how do I do my bookkeeping or my taxes or the payroll and structure it to like, how much do I save for actual taxes, right? Yeah. So it's cool when money's coming in and people, you know, want to get that dopamine hit, start living that lifestyle because they, you know, worked hard and they went and started a business. So then they go spend like they're a successful entrepreneur in year one, year two, and get themselves into trouble. Right.
Yep.
So, why did they pick you, right? Out of all the other people that they could have picked to be vice president of sales, like, what do you think attracted them to you? Like,
well, their kind of model prior to us coming on was like, they were just an installer. So they're just installer. They'd hire these sales groups called dealers. And their experience was, I think a lot of people's experience is, you get a sales group, you do one thing to say, hey, I have a boundary here. We're not going to do this. This doesn't make sense on the business side. Then they just leave and go find another group. And so sales were super inconsistent for them. They'd get a big group, they'd drop off, get a big group, drop off. What made our group different when we were kind of looking at going over to G3 was we didn't want to be a dealer. We wanted to come and be a direct sales program, meaning that we are G3. We represent G3. We are G3. We're going to be a direct program, not a separate entity.
Gotcha.
And we're going to grow this thing internally. And so all of our systems are, all the sales systems are ran through G3. They're not ran through a different entity. And it's like not a separate thing. It's like our sales group is married 2G3.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It's basically you do the selling and you do the fulfilling and all the buck stops there, right?
Yep.
Versus somebody that knocks on your door and says, hey, I can sell you Dish Network or DirecTV or, you know, Verizon. You want Verizon? You want AT&T? Yeah. You want that, you know?
It's AT&T. Like,
yeah, that's what I have.
Yeah.
I have AT&T, you know, but that's just because I live out in Virgin.
You know? I think the thing that really attracted, you know, us together was we knew that they could install. We knew that they had a good financial backing, but they also saw that, like, hey, this is a model that we could have consistent sales. We can rely on saying, hey, this is, we can model out the cells. We know how, you know, we know what to predict and what to prepare for.
It's controlling it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Because you said there was inconsistencies.
Yep.
And it's tough to rely on a third party to build your business, right? And so if they were fulfillment and that is their business, they're relying on third part. In other words, salespeople to do their job, give them enough deals to where they can actually build and grow a real business versus, you know, feast or famine. 1 month's a great month and you're overloaded and the next month it's slow and you've got people that you've got to pay.
Yep.
Right. And so you need consistency in that regard, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's the hardest part for you in your position doing what you do? Is it the competition of so many other people out there recruiting, trying to incentivize, dangle the carrot to salespeople? Like, as you being an individual leading the charge in the sales division, what's the hurdle that you face most often?
I think it's a balance of being patient and aggressive.
Okay.
Like, I think, like, the way that we run things, I feel like we do it a lot different than other solar companies. We're not trying to recruit by the droves of all these different solar companies and try to like steal all these other reps and managers from people so we can grow. Our model is like, we want you to, if you work with us, we want you to follow our systems because we know our systems and processes work.
Yeah.
And so we grow leaders from within the organization. We're not looking to recruit externally and bring them in, like, inside. And so the patience part of it is waiting for leaders to be ready so that we can grow. Because I've found that when I have someone who's a good salesperson, they get started, I get really excited. I'm like, oh, John, he's crushing it. He's going to do awesome. Let's send him out automatically. Let's go. Well, we send him out to go open a market and he flops, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm learning the balance of being patient. Like, no, we don't need to grow that fast because this person will flop, but in six months, he'll be ready. So waiting for that,
like that,
but also being aggressive with, no, we still have to make things happen. We can't just sit around and wait. And so right now, like, my mind is thinking constantly about what's the system that we're putting people into. We have a good system to make you be a good salesperson, but once they become a good salesperson, how do we develop that person to become a leader so that that person can continue to grow and we can continue to grow our sales organization beyond just sales, but in growing to different markets?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does, because one, you're putting somebody in a position where they can make good money learning sales. And then secondly, you're putting them in a position where they can learn to become a leader so that they're not just hitting a ceiling just as a salesperson having to knock the doors for the rest of their life, right? Like, if you're good enough and you're willing to put in the work and be patient, right, there's a process to where you're trying to go. And how I look at it when you were talking about that, I was like, okay, I look at it kind of like a backup quarterback in the NFL. Like, when you draft a rookie, right, like, being patient. I mean, Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre for a couple years, but I'm sure that he wanted to play right when he got drafted.
Yeah.
Right. But he was getting his reps behind the scene. He was getting the preparation done so that when he took the field, that he could become Aaron Rodgers. And that's kind of what you guys are doing. There's some prep work that needs to be done behind the scenes to set somebody up for success. And I think that that's something that a lot of people do wrong just in general. So you're talking about creating environments where you could create leaders. But what happens when you don't have anybody creating that environment for you and you need to become a leader?
Right.
It's up to you to create that environment for yourself and put yourself in that environment every single day.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of amazing business owners that are very skilled at what they're doing, but they're terrible in terms of leadership. They can't even lead themselves and put themselves in an environment to where they're growing on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
So when they're showing up in their business, they're becoming better every single day for the people that they're there to serve.
Right.
And let's be real, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, a business owner, like, it's not everybody serving you.
Yeah.
Right. Like in VP, it says, it's not everybody coming to you and what can I do for you? What you're going to them.
Yeah.
Like in reality, like it's there's an employer, but the employer really is the servant.
Yeah.
And you have to have some sort of servant mentality walking around. Hey, are you doing okay? Is there anything that you need? This, like, there's very few people that come in and check on you.
Yeah.
And as a leader, you know, that's just what it is. Like, you, your job is to make sure everybody's okay, understand what their needs are, where they want to take their life, create opportunities for them to grow with inside of your organization.
Yep.
And, you know, mental health is a big, big, like, the, I think the world's, you know, falling apart at the seams because people don't have values.
Yeah.
Right. People don't have direction. People don't have leaders in their life to say, hey, you're good enough. I think I could see something in you that you can't see in yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got an opportunity provided you do X, X, and X that I see you doing this in 5 years, almost casting a vision for somebody else that feels like they don't even know what they should be doing with their life. And it kind of helps them, you know, get a little bit more purpose. Have you seen that with some of the young salespeople who are like, hey, I just want to make money.
Yeah.
And you cast a vision for them. They're like, let's go, you know.
The thing that I'm hearing when you say that is like the organization chart is not like you should, leaders at the bottom.
Yeah.
It's not, they're at the top.
Turn the pyramid upside down.
Yep.
And it's like teetering on very few. And then it's top heavy. And that's a lot of weight bearing down on the leaders at the very, very top, right? Yeah. It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. I think it's so important that, I mean, as leaders and as you're growing, it can feel, at least my experience is it can feel really lonely. It can feel like, oh, dude, like you don't understand the pressure, especially when you transition from being just like a sales leader to a position where you're in, where you're making the payroll. You know what I mean? Like that's a lot of pressure. And I think it's super important to have a community of people around you that like, that support you, that understand what's going on.
Yeah.
That's not in your organization.
Yeah.
You don't have it's like, I'm wanting something from you because you work for me or I work for you. It's, we're just friends, but we're kind of going through the same thing together and having a community of people that can understand each other.
Yeah.
And that's truly one thing on a personal level I've been focusing on this year. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to network, not that I'm trying to network out of my company because I love the people I work with. But it's like everybody I know is working. We're working together, and it's like that's all I talk. That's all I talk to. And I'm like, I don't want to get to know people
outside of it. Yeah,
I've different. The more I do that, my mind has been shifting like crazy. Like putting myself into an environment where I'm growing. I feel like that's the thing that I've been doing lately to grow as a leader, is to find people that are not maybe in door. They're not in door to door sales. They're not in solar. But they're still thriving in something else.
Yeah.
And they're still going through it. And they have a completely different paradigm than what I do.
Yeah.
And so by having those relationships, I found it to be super, super critical. Just lately in my mind, I'm like, I feel like the past 10 years, money has been a very high value of mine, which it still is. Money driven guy. I like money. But I've realized the past 2 years that like relationships are so critical. And having a community and having people around you that care about you is really important. And so my mind has kind of been shifting from like the, you know, what currency is not money. Currency is relationships. It's, you know, emotional equity with people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I don't know if I'm gonna end to that thought, but like when you're talking about the pressure as a leader, that's like how I felt. And my mind went to the way that we feel supported in that, that having people that are going through similar things and they're not directly in your business. So they're not emotionally attached.
Yeah. They can, I mean, it's cool to have camaraderie and connection with people that understand you in your industry, but it's also cool to have camaraderie and connection with people that are outside of the industry that have unique and different perspectives.
Yeah.
You know, if all you do is hang out with other doors, you know each other's problems. Yes, you get each other, but you can't create a new perspective with the same people.
Yeah.
Right? Like what if somebody's in a whole different industry and they're doing something a little bit different in their leadership or incentivizing their team a little bit different, and you're just like, oh, wow, I can probably take that and implement that here. There's just so many different ways to skin a cat, right, so to speak. Yeah. And every industry is a little unique and different, but how can we take a piece of this and piece of that and kind of put it together, right?
Industries are different, but I feel like businesses in general, like they're all similar principles, right? It's like you have leadership, human you have nature, systems. Bro. It's like you have these similarities.
Yeah.
And so like you could go into any business. It could be a different industry. You might have to learn a little bit about the industry, but because you know the principles to grow a company, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the product is, it's all a widget, whether we're selling water bottles, solar, tax accounting, coffee, whatever. Yeah. It's all a widget, and you have to be able to fulfill on that. That's the operational piece. But as far as the business side of it, I feel like the principles are still the same. But I think one thing that's like, I think business people intrigue me so much. Business owners intrigue me so much that business owners that are married that have kids, because I feel like it's way easy, in my opinion. I'm like, you're single and you have no kids. Probably not that. Like, but I get there's pressure, but I feel like there's this whole new dynamic because I just became a father like 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and it's like, my life is like chaotic. You know, like I'm looking at people with four kids.
Yeah,
and they're married for 10 years and they're making millions. I'm like, now how do you pull that off?
Yeah.
That's impressive. Yeah, and so exactly. I'm like, I want to get around people like that.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, to win just financially or just to win financially and to have good health, good for you. But how do I have good health?
Yeah.
How do I win financially? How do I have a wife that's obsessed with me and loves me and I love her? How do I have a good connection to God and my kids love me and I'm being their leader, showing up as the best father I can be?
Yeah.
That's like the ultimate, like
showing up who's your best in all the areas that are of importance.
Yep.
Like how do you do that? Right.
Yeah.
Like how do you juggle that? And for me, if you want that, it forces you to get rid of a lot of the dumb stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of the distractions.
Yeah.
It takes living a very intentional life. It has to be designed. Yeah. It's impossible to hit a home run here, 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 and here without designing it and having a lot of intention about the way you go about your life. It's impossible. You can't just wake up one day and you're just like, hey, I'm an amazing husband, father, business. I like money's good. Hey, like it just doesn't work like that. Like one, it's an addition through subtraction. What can I subtract from my life that no longer serves me or, you know, gives time in the areas that I say are a priority to me? Because a lot of people will say, yeah, my family's a priority. Yeah, business is a priority. Yeah, this. But then, you know, if you check the stats, you know, it's a lot different in terms of how they show up in reality, right?
Yep.
Just because you're at the office doesn't mean that you're actually moving the needle.
Yep.
You know, you can still scroll through social media for 6 hours a day on your cell phone, right? So just because you're in the right environment doesn't mean that you're actually being productive. Sometimes we give ourselves credit because we're at home.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we care. I care about my family. I go home at six. I'm like, okay, and do what?
Right.
Like sit on, veg out on the, just because you're in the environment doesn't mean you're productive.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that a lot of people get that confused.
And that's one thing I need to work on. Like, I'm like, I'm home and I'm like, and I'm on social media.
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I doing? Like, but what you're telling me,
everybody's guilty of it,
is like the Pareto principle. You know, the top 20% will get you 80% of the results.
Yep.
And so we need to cut out the 80% that doesn't give us the other 80% of the results. And that's like, to me, what's not important. What's not important is scrolling through social media. What's not important is watching the newest Netflix series. What's not important is all this stuff. What is important is being super present with your family. What is important is being super present with your wife on date night. What is important is being present at work and actually producing, not going to the office just to avoid
something else.
I'm out there working really hard. There's this, the book The Psychology of Selling by Brian Tracy. He says that the average salesperson, you know, on a weekly basis works 4 hours during a week. Like, actually during a week, the average salesperson will work 4 hours during the week. I think it's absolutely true.
So
if you look at the average person, what are they actually doing with their time? They're going to the water fountain. They're filling up their water. They're scrolling on their phone. They're just we're just wasting time. I'm just as guilty as everybody. And it's like, it's amazing. If you just were to be if you want to be a good salesperson, just put in 40 true hours, not 40 hours in the office.
Go from 4 to 10.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
you just don't
know that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, there was a guy yesterday, Cody, well, I mean, for the listeners, it's a week or so ago that was on the podcast, and he came in here, he does real estate.
Yeah.
He brought his son, and he goes, I was teaching my son some stuff today, and I said, watch, we're going to call 5 real estate agents right now. He's like, I'm going to show you how easy it is to separate yourself from competition. He calls 5 real estate agents in town. 1 out of 5 picked up the phone.
Really?
And he says, that's how easy it is to separate yourself, mm-hmm. is making yourself accessible during business hours.
Yeah.
Like, your job as an agent is to be accessible to people when your phone rings, because if it's somebody that you don't know and you're an agent, most likely it's somebody that wants to buy or sell a property. Yeah. It's a lead.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this office that we're in right now, bro, you know how difficult it was to get into this office? We came by, we got the phone number off of the window because I saw it online or whatever. I came in, looked in the windows, right, when we're trying to build out a little podcast studio. And we're like, oh, there's 1,100 square feet. That's going to be perfect. We'll build it out. We'll do it there. It'll be nice and affordable, nothing big and crazy. Let's test it out and see if we like having our own studio. So come over here, look in the windows, grab the guy's phone number, okay? I call the guy, nothing. I text the guy, nothing. I call him again and again and again over the course of a week, nothing. Then I call his office and leave a message with the secretary, nothing.
Yeah.
Then I was about to go into the office and Corey, he goes, hey, have you heard back from that agent about that space out there? And I was like, no, bro. I was like, I'm trying everything to get a hold of them. And he goes, dude, let me do some digging here. I'm going to find out who owns the building. And I said, cool. Within 5 minutes, he has a screenshot text to me, text it over, and it has the building owner's name and the building owner's phone number. I'm like, there's no, and this is like Friday night at like 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to call him on Monday,
yeah,
you know, or whatever. And I was like, no, I'm going to call him right now.
Yeah.
You know, just whatever. How often do we put things off that we can just address right now?
Yeah.
Right. And I'm guilty of it too. So I call this guy and I'm like, hey, is this, the lady answers. I'm like, is this Paul's number? Do you guys own a office?
Yeah.
Out in Coral Canyon? She's like, oh, it's old lady. That's my husband. Do you want hair? Let me, hands the phone to her husband. I'm talking to Paul. I'm like, hey, I'm not trying to be harsh or anything like that. I've tried to beat up your agent through text messages, phone calls. I've called the office. Now I'm not going to judge him because it's only been a week. He might be on vacation. He may have a death in the family, you know, something like that. But I want your office.
Yeah.
And this is kind of my terms. This is what I'm thinking. I don't want to sign some long lease. This is just a little test gig. I'll pay you a year's worth up front, you know. So he's like, oh, I just bought it in July. So yeah, I'd love to have somebody in there.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I'll put in the carpet. I'll do the paint. I'm not going to ask for any tenant improvements from you or any allowances. I just give me this at your rate that you already have it listed at, but don't make me sign some 5-year long lease or whatever. So then he met me over here on Monday. We walked through it, you know, and like,
got it done.
That's the difference. When you're talking about 4 hours that the average salesperson works, there's two examples just right there. Unfortunately, and I'm not here to beat up on real estate agents, but unfortunately, both of those situations were agents, right? They're in the industry of selling homes.
Yeah.
And so, and I know for a fact, commercial, you know, those guys, they can get some fat pockets when the market's good.
Yeah.
And fat pockets usually make people get very complacent, make people get lazy.
Yeah.
And I'll get around to that. I'll call them back, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. It's not hard to separate yourself from competition through accessibility.
Yep.
Right? That's 1, 2, effort.
Yep.
Right? Showing up every single day. Have a standard.
Yep.
Like, if you're in a certain industry, whether it's in knocking doors, whether you're making phone calls, how many calls are you going to make a day? How many doors are you going to knock a day?
Yep.
Eventually, everything's a numbers game. Break it down. If I'm in a neighborhood and I knock 40 doors and I get 1 per 40 or 1 per 50, I'm like, okay, I want 2 deals, you know, every single day. So I'm going to have to knock 100, or I want 5 deals in a week. So I'm going to have to, and you break it down. Let the math and the data give you the information on what your actions need to be for the outcome that you said that you wanted.
Yep.
Right? It's not as hard as people make it, right? It's just the fact that we rely so heavily on emotion and motivation and, you know, this. And so we're motivated when we go out to knock. Geez, on that 8th door or that 10th door, and it's starting to get warm out, or you've heard too many no's. There goes your motivation.
Yep.
And here comes this emotion that's going to tell you, tonight's not the night, or today's just not the day, right?
Yep.
Like, back off. But if you had a predetermined number going out there, it doesn't matter what the emotion is.
Yep.
What matters is, did you hit your numbers?
Yep.
Did you knock the 50 that you said that you were going to do?
Yep.
There's plenty of times if I just relied on my I wake up and I'm not going to run 10 miles.
Yep.
Probably 5 days out of the week if I just relied on my emotion.
Yep.
And how I'm feeling when I wake up.
Yep.
But it's already predetermined.
Yep.
And predetermined actions equal results,
yep,
right? And that's the game right there in any sales industry, because it's all about output.
Yeah, right? More context.
Yeah, dude, it's a contact sport. You know what I mean?
I think first thing on people getting back to you.
Yeah.
What I thought of when you said that was, always ask a busy man to get something done. Like, if you ask someone who's busy to get something done, it'll get done.
Yeah.
Because there's a thing I like to teach our people is the concept of closing circuits.
Yeah.
Whenever we have a to-do item, right? To do, hey, I need to call the real estate agent. I'll do that Monday. When you think that, you open up a circuit in your brain. And when you open up a circuit, a to-do list, I need to do laundry, I need to do this, that's taking energy from your mind until that task is completed.
Mm.
And so I've noticed with successful people, they open and close circuits so fast. I need to call this person, boom, call them. I need to do this, call them. And it's like, you meet people that aren't successful, their life's always chaotic, their house is a mess, their car's a mess, their car's always breaking down, their health's not in check. And it's like, they have all these to-do lists because they have all these open circuits that's draining their energy, and that's why they're so tired. Where people that are successful, like you, just beating you today, you're fired up. You got a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's because they have habits of, I'm just going to get this done now. I'm going to get this done now. As they're actually doing more, but they're not drained because they don't have all these things weighing them down. And that makes sense.
No, it makes complete sense.
But
it's like a circuit breaker, right? You're overloading your mental circuits because you're not closing out tasks.
Yep.
How many files do you have open in your brain?
Yep.
And how many files can your brain handle before it needs to be filed away? Boom, 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 boom.
Fast, you know, closing circuits.
Yeah, dude, that's... I never heard it put that way, and I really like that.
Well, thank you. But yeah, I think sales, that's like the biggest thing I've learned about sales is people. It's so like my first year doing door-to-door sales, I grew up selling. I grew up selling watermelon on the side of the road. My dad owned a produce stand. He said, hey, I'll give you, you have two options for a job. Option one is you can go shake a sign out of the corner, or you can go and you can just be commissioned and sell watermelon. I'll pay you 50 cents every watermelon you sell. I'm like, I'll pick that one.
I was going to say, dude, did you get good at the...
No, I wasn't that guy.
I love going to the bigger cities, though, when you see those signs.
They're
like doing all sorts and behind the back with the signs and shit.
That's actually really impressive.
It is impressive. I'm like, holy cow, hopefully these guys are making six figures with that skill, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think so. But yeah, so I chose the watermelon, and so I thought I was the king of sales. Like, I was like 13 to 18. Yeah. I'm like, no one could sell more watermelon than me. You have a sales problem, I can fix it.
Yeah.
So I had all this confidence and cockiness of like, I'm the greatest salesman on earth. Well, I go to sell Dish Network and, door to door, and I just get my face kicked in. Mm-hmm. I actually was decent at selling, but when someone rejected me, I wasn't used to that because people were already in the fruit stand.
Yeah.
It wasn't really cold contacting.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't used to the emotional.
The brutal, the brunt.
F you, door slammed.
Yeah.
So I would just crumble. And so what I've learned over the past 10 years of door-to-door is you can't consult your emotions. Like, you can't consult your story, because if you get told no, you're going to get a story in your head. You're going to get, if someone tells you to F off, or you get a door slammed in your face or whatever, you get rejected over and over again, the story will become the market isn't good. Maybe it's I suck. The market isn't good. This neighborhood sucks. You know, this isn't the right area for me to be. I need to switch from being a real estate agent to, I should be a mortgage guy.
Yeah.
I should switch to insurance. I should switch to door-to-door.
It's always something else.
It's that never what I'm doing is the right thing.
Yeah.
Because your story's telling you something.
Yeah.
Where if you actually were to be a data-driven person, you would realize what you're saying. It's like, no, if I talk to 50 people and I get one, then I should expect 49 people to tell me, no, F you, door slammed in my face.
Yeah.
No, thank you, whatever. So I should expect the no 49 times. And if I can go into a day, if I'm a salesperson, knowing, hey, I'm going to get told, if I want to get two sales in your example, I'm going to get 98 no's today.
Mm-hmm.
cool, I already know that. That's like to be expected. And so that's something I try to tell myself when I'm out getting told no,
yeah,
whatever. It's like, F off, whatever. Something happens, I'm like, yeah, to be expected. And I try to keep my emotions. It used to be like I'd go from a 1, super depressed, sad, you know, to a 10. I'm like, I'm the king of the world, I'm the best. Yeah. Got told no again, down to 1. Now I just try to keep myself between a 4 and a 6. It's like, you told me yes, I get like, I've sell 3 today or whatever. I'm not going to allow myself to get above a 6. I'm not going to get super jacked up. And if I get told no and I bagel, I get 0 sales today. That's okay, to be expected. But I always trust Sinaloa, which is safety in numbers, law of averages. I know, yeah, I might have got told no 100 times today out of the 100 people. Statistically, I should have got told yes twice.
Yeah.
So if I knock 100 tomorrow, I'm probably going to get 4.
Yeah.
Just because that's the way that the numbers work. So safety numbers, law of averages. You just have to put in the front end work. It's all about the top of the funnel and knowing, hey, how many people am I contacting? How many am I, all the conversion ratios depending on your industry. But then I do think it's a numbers game, but I think people, it's also a skills game. You know what I mean?
No, it is.
It is. Steph Curry's shooting threes.
Yeah.
It's just a numbers game. He would just keep on throwing threes, and he wouldn't be focusing on his form and technique. But I think the numbers will tell you where you need to get better. So if you have 5 different conversion points, from the 100, if you're out of 100, how many do you talk to? Out of how many you talk to, how many are qualified? How many are qualified? How many do you set an appointment with? Of the people you set an appointment with, how many sit? Out of the people that sit, how many buy?
Yeah.
Out of people that buy, how many do you install? For example, if you know all those numbers, and then you can base it off of, and you know the other people's numbers in your industry or on your team, you can know where your conversion rates are low. And then you can say, hey, I'm really good at setting appointments, but I'm really bad at getting them to sit. So I don't need to work on being, more...
setting appointments.
I'm good at that. I need to be more convincing. I need to do more tie downs. All I know is that this number is low. So I know my stats and say, this is where I need to improve and work on. And then you can start working on that skill side. But at the beginning of a sales career, I think it's just more input at the beginning, more input,
getting
more
reps, input.
getting reps every day.
Get your reps.
Yep.
If you want to be good at anything, the more reps you do, the better you're going to get.
Yep.
Again, an output game, right?
Yep.
Like, and that's one thing that you have the ability to control.
Yep.
Is your effort, the output that you do every single day.
Yep.
Right. Like, running sales teams, let's say it's, and I'm saying for us and our organizations, and we grew up in sales, me and Kels. So that's something that we're very familiar with. It was, hey, X amount of dials, we knew dollar per lead, right? Like if you have X amount of leads, you should produce X amount of revenue out of those leads. And if you dial X amount, then you should have X amount of result, like getting very granular with it, right? And there's some salespeople, it's Tuesday or Wednesday and it's a slow week.
Yep.
And it's like, hey, it's a law of averages.
Yep.
Sometimes all the numbers, all the results show up on Friday.
Yep.
The week isn't over yet.
Yep.
Right. And so we're like constantly reminding them, if you're doing what you should be doing, unfortunately, it doesn't show up exactly when you want to every single day perfectly, like you talked about. Right. 100 doors, 2 sales, 100 doors, 2 sales, 100. You may knock 300 doors and have no sales.
Right.
But then that next 100, again, the law of averages kicks in, right?
Yep.
Just like the law of gravity, if you jump out of a damn tree, it's going to kick in.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to
happen.
It's just inevitable. There's inevitabilities that are going to happen. If I eat like shit for the next year, what's the inevitable?
Yep.
I'm probably going to look like shit and I'm going to feel like shit.
Yep.
That's just, it is what, and again, I may be able to eat like shit and feel okay for that first week or first, again, there's certain things, but again, we've got to look at a picture more broad, not just day by day by day. We can't get so into the day that we forget about what we're really trying to accomplish over the long haul. Right.
Yeah. I think the thing that I'm thinking about while doing that is it's really hard to think broad picture when you're financially broke. It's really hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when you got bills due.
Yeah,
you
know? I can't afford to zero this week because next week I got my mortgage.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's really important I try to teach this to our salespeople all the time. Get your house in order.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get your money right. Like, I'm not saying you need to be, wealthy overnight. I'm saying in the next 12 months, you need to have 6 months of bills saved up.
Yeah.
You need to have... your credit card's paid off. Yeah. Any debt that's not paying you cash, in my opinion, including your home, should be paid off. Pay off everything so that way you have no, like, you have little stress, and that way you don't get emotionally tied as much.
Yeah.
You get stressed out when it's like, oh, and then we start to self-sabotage, and it's like the self-fulfilling prophecy of like, I can't make money. I'm at zero. I need to pay my mortgage. I can't do it. And then it happens.
Being desperate, it's hard to perform.
Yeah. That's the word, desperate. Nailed it.
You know? And so like people understand when other people are desperate and it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're kind of overbearing and there's the stress of that you're putting on, you're not going to be able to ease somebody and make them feel comfortable in doing a transaction with you.
Yep.
When you're desperate.
Yep.
Right. There's a frequency thing when two people are together that's absolute real.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're taking care of your home, right, you've got money saved, and you're just going out there focusing on doing what you need to do, knocking X amount of doors, showing up in a certain way with a certain attitude at a certain energy and vibrating at a certain frequency.
Yeah.
You're like, why can one rep knock 100 doors and get 5 sales and one knock 100 and get 0 and their averages look completely different, but yet they're doing the exact same thing.
Same area.
Right.
Same pitch, same product.
Everything. Right. Like we used to say that. I'm like, look, dude, you guys all have the same leads. You sit in the same room. It's air conditioned at the same temperature. Your chairs are the exact same color. You operate out of the same CRM. You like everything's the exact same. Why does homie over here have 15 deals?
Just kidding.
And yeah. And you over here got 5.
Yeah.
Like you're the common denominator, dude. Like yeah. It's not that they're getting fed something special. Like
yep.
It's just the way that they show up. And I remember being a sales guy and sometimes being in the shower before work, I'm going to put up $5,000 a day. Like I would just think about that as I'm going to put up $5,000 a day.
Yep.
And it was crazy. And again, it doesn't happen every single time.
Right.
But it was crazy how many times it did happen when I would show up and I'd put up 5,500.
Yep.
Or 6,000 or 5,000. Like again, I'm priming my mind to do the very thing that I want it to do.
Yep.
Prior to going and doing the thing
yep.
that I need to do to get the result that I want, right? Yep. And so I'm going out there with what? Intention.
Yep.
Right? I've already set the intention for the day of what I'm going to do, which helps me with the no's or this, like, yep. because I know what I'm trying to accomplish at the end of the day, not because I got 2 no's by 11 o'clock,
yeah.
you know, or whatever. So
that makes me think of what you're talking about priming. So last year we did a lot of blitzes. So basically what you do on a blitz is you go out to a certain area for a certain amount of time
yeah.
and you go sell, right? We sell solar. So we go out for 10 days and I don't do any leads. I don't take any leads. I just knock my own doors, sell my own doors just because it's the most lucrative.
Yeah.
I don't mind knocking. Well, every trip I'd sell, I'd have between 9 to 14, 15 deals. And I remember thinking in 10 days, because my conversion rates are about 25% of leads that I set, I will sell.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, how do I sell 20 in a day or 20? Sorry, not 20 in a day. How do I sell 20
on the blitz
in 10 days?
Yeah.
And I was doing the math. That's 80 appointments roughly. I'm like, that's a lot of appointments. Day one, I show up, there's 0 appointments. So I have 9 days to really run those appointments. So I'm like, okay, I have 9 days to run 80 appointments. I was doing the math and I'm like, I have an hour per appointment. I'm like, there's not even enough time slots for that to be possible.
Yeah.
There's not enough time slots. Like by the time I get to area, which is around 11 o'clock, like I don't have enough time. And I was telling my wife and my friend Jason, I'm like, I think this is impossible. Like, I don't think it's possible. And I was like banging my head against I'm like, how can I do this? Like,
yeah.
I don't think I'm going to become a better salesperson overnight. Like, I don't think my conversion ratios are going to go to 40%.
Yeah.
This is the math problem. And then I kind of had this epiphany because I was thinking, like, there has to be a way, but I'm like, I just don't see it. I was like, what if I tried 45 minutes appointments? I'm like, if I do 45 minutes, I'll have enough time on the clock. And I don't know anybody who sold 20 in 10 days. I'm sure there's people that have done that, but in my mind, I've never seen, I don't know someone to model to do
yeah.
it. And I was like, this is a big deal for me. I'm like, I wonder if I could do it. I'm like, okay, I figured out my strategy. Once I figured out my strategy, I started to tell everybody. I posted on social media, I'm going to sell 20 in 10 days. I told my wife I'm going to sell 20 in 10 days. I told my team I'm going to sell 20 in 10 days.
Mm.
And I was really nervous because I'm like,
I've never done that,
but that was kind of for me the shower thing. I'm going to make 5,000 today. I'm going to make 5,000.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to sell 20 in 10 days. Well, I go out there and I just run my script and it ends up working out. And I sell like 20 in 10 days. I like the whole time I was like, just focus on the numbers, just focus on the numbers, focus on every day. I need X amount of appointments on my calendar, X amount of appointments on my calendar. Just do that. And don't worry if someone tells you no, just focus on the appointments. And I hit that goal. I remember I hit the goal. And actually, let me back up. I had one last day. On my last day, I had 19 or 18 deals. So I needed two more.
Okay.
Sold one in the morning. I'm at 19. And then I have like, I don't know, 7, 8 more appointments left. I'm like, I got this in the bag. Not a problem. Like just statistically, I'm going to probably sell 2 or 3 more.
Cockiness started coming.
Oh, yeah.
I got it.
And then all of a sudden, no show.
Yeah.
Not interested. And it's like, I just get no after no. And like, I'm talking emotionally. I've worked my tail off. Like, I'm like so exhausted. And I'm like, I'm going to be so frustrated if I don't hit my goal. And I'm like red in the face, pissed. And now when I'm interacting with customers, I'm desperate. And I was just so, and I got told no and no and no. And I'm like, dude, like, I'm not going to hit this thing.
Yeah.
And I remember, I'm like, this one person told me no, or they no-showed me, but he said he's at the hospital and he's just need to go to the doctor. So I called him. I'm like, hey, could you, you know, are you around? And he's like, yeah. So I go sit down with him. I remember before walking in, I told myself, before you go into this river, don't care if he buys or not. And all I want you to do is focus on your breath. And that's what I did to calm down. The whole time I was presenting, I just was like, just focusing on my breath. And I remember there was a lot of chaos in that presentation. The neighbor came over, distracted us the whole time. And if I would have been in desperation, I would have been like, dude, hey, you got to go. Like,
yeah.
I would have been trying to control the situation too much. And I would probably would have lost the sale. But I was able to slow down, calm my breath down, and just be completely present during that moment and not care if they bought or not, but just gave it my all. And they ended up buying. And I remember when I closed that 20th deal, which isn't a big deal to most people, but to me, it was like, that was cool.
Yeah.
It was something I was proud of. I was like more proud of myself to get my emotions back under control, to go to being detached again. Cause that's what I believe you have to be a great salesperson is detached, like highly intentional, low attachment.
Yeah.
And I was able to get I was able to accomplish my target. And, that was super cool for me. But it's like the story for me was you have to know the strategy.
Yep.
You have to put your put your balls on the line and just put it out there.
You do.
And you have to say it over and over and just convince yourself that you can do it. And then when things aren't going your way, when you think you got it in the bag or you don't think you got it in the bag, you have to learn to emotionally pivot and not let that consume you. Because if not, then that's why we see people self-sabotage.
Well, you're controlling what you can.
Sports,
you can control how you breathe. You can control how you enter into the situation. You're not going to be able to control whether somebody's going to buy or not fully, right? Yeah. Like you don't know what's on the other side of the door, right? But you know that you can hone in your own emotions. That's the only thing we all have control of.
Yep.
Is ourselves.
Yep.
So control the controllable, control yourself. Like whether you're talking about knocking on X amount of doors or setting the appointment, you can control that.
Yep.
But again, when you're saying detach from the result, the result isn't fully you when you're actually doing business with another person.
Right.
Right. So just focus on what you have the ability to do to put you in the highest probability of success.
Yep.
But detach from the outcome. Focus more on your actions than the outcome. And when you control your actions in the right way, the outcome, that's just a byproduct.
Yep.
Right? Like, if somebody wants a freaking six pack, like, cool, you can sit there and just focus on the six pack where you can just say, man, if I signed up for 3 different marathons over the next couple months, what's the byproduct of that going to be? You're probably going to lose weight and you might start seeing your six pack a little bit. Like focus on things that you have the ability to control and let the actual outcome that you want be the byproduct by controlling the things that you have the ability to, right?
Yep.
I remember being on the phone young and we had a mute button right here on our headset because back in the day they didn't have wireless headsets. You know, we were hooked up to a leash is what we called it. It would hook right out into the phone and I'd put it on mute when somebody would answer. I would say, this Bob's going to get closed right now.
Yep.
I would say really loud on the sales floor and get people's attention and then click back over.
Yep.
And start my pitch.
Begin. Yep.
It created a different sense of pressure because I spoke what I was going to do, right? And that's the same when I ran 37 miles on my 30. I went into a room and said, I'm going to run 37 miles in 39 days on my birthday.
Yep.
And I'm putting some accountability out in the world with other people telling them what I'm going to do.
Yep.
a lot of people will put on, so, hey, I'm going to do this, or watch me, or this. And it's like, okay, cool. Watch you do what?
Yeah.
Like, call your shot. Babe Ruth that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Point to the fence. Yeah. Guess what? There's humiliation if you don't do the thing that you said you're going to do.
Yep.
And I'm telling you right now, that creates a whole different level of pressure, and the right people perform under the right pressure.
Yep.
Other, you know, if you're not that person, you're not that person. You'll find out about it, right? But yep. I would rather call my shot, crash and burn, than be silently broke,
yeah.
Yeah. Silent, you know, and never really bet on myself. Yep. And that's a big issue, man, is people yep. just don't speak out what they want.
Yep.
They don't live an intentional life.
Yep.
They don't bet on themselves enough, you know, like control what they have the ability to control so that the results they want could be a byproduct. I mean, there's so many different lessons that we've shared
yeah.
throughout this podcast. What advice would you give somebody that was in your shoes, that was young, knocking doors, you know, selling initially when you were getting your face pounded in and your emotions were, you know, from top of the world to the bottom of the mountain, just depending. Like, there's a lot of young, hungry salespeople that listen to the podcast, right?
Yeah.
That want to become entrepreneurs, that want to start businesses. What's one piece of advice that you would share with an individual that's maybe new in sales that would serve them in a way that could potentially put them in a situation in 5 or 10 years from now, maybe they're not doing sales anymore and there's more opportunities for them?
Yeah. So I'd say three things. I'd say the first thing is find a leader that you truly believe in.
Mm.
Find someone who has the result that you want and make sure that you have a great relationship with them and talk to them consistently. Get to know what, like, success leaves clues. So you don't have to figure this out on your own. Like, you can, and you'll get there in 10 years. If you have a good mentor, you'll get there in 2.
Yeah.
So that'd be the first thing. The second thing is to stay consistent. Like, stay consistent. Do, like, follow the process, marry the process, divorce the outcome. Like, get rid of the expectations of what you should be getting and realize what you're getting is who you're becoming along the way, and that's through the process. And then the third thing is to always be thinking level up, like, leveling up your skill set. Don't be stagnant and like, oh, I'm a 2 a week kind of guy. I'm a this kind of guy. Always be leveling up your identity to continue. Cause I just see a lot of salespeople get stuck and that they just are stuck in that identity. And for the, you don't want to be in,
I'm an 80 grand a year guy, yeah. or I'm 100 grand a year. And then they just, that's their ceiling.
Yeah. They never become from a door to door salesperson to a leader to, you know, and they can to an investor to whatever's next.
Yeah.
That's up to the person to decide, but always be looking to level up and don't stay stagnant. Don't be stagnant or okay with your current situation. Always grateful, never satisfied. Like, be, you know, committed to always leveling up your life, and don't be like, okay, I made the 200 grand a year now. I've made, I call it the king of the shitheads. Like,
yeah.
You're the coolest of all your buddies.
Yeah.
You need to be hanging out with people that are way more baller than you. Like, there's levels to this game, and you got to go find those people that are living at a higher level.
No,
stop getting, get out of your ego, I should say.
Yeah. You know, there was a young individual at the gym. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm doing good. I'm, you know, make 150, but my goal is 200. And I said, cool. Then the goal is going to be 250. Then it's going to be 300. And then guess what? Eventually, it's not about the money anymore. It's going to be about the individual that you're required to become in order to make the money.
Yep.
So eventually, money becomes no longer the thing that you need. It just, you start craving the evolution of self, and you become more valuable to the point that your money actually evolves with you.
Yep.
Right? So that's what you're talking about on that last point that you made, is always be seeking. In other words, we're at the human design, we wouldn't be designed this way if it wasn't something that we were supposed to do.
Yep.
In other words, we're designed to evolve.
Yep.
You know, every single year that passes, we have more potential. And our job here is to look at the past year and say, okay, what lessons can I extract? You know, what pitfalls can I avoid? And where can I evolve? Where can I get better?
Yep.
Right? Like, that's the whole point, is to have data about yourself every year that you age. And that's how you become self-aware. I don't do so well in this environment. I probably shouldn't put myself in that environment anymore.
Right.
Right? So don't get so egotistical that you think that your shit don't stink just because you make, and guess what? Guilty.
Yep.
When I was young, making $150,000, $200,000, nobody could tell me what to do, right?
Yep.
Like,
I make just as much money as doctors or lawyers or that, you know, and I'm a sales guy, right? Like, that was the biggest detriment to me in regards to having the opportunity to make $500,000, $1 million, $1.5 million. When I got rid of that attitude, that's when I started hitting the $500,000, $1 million, $1.5 million
yep.
on an annual basis. It wasn't, and again, it stops being about the money and it starts being about the being in pursuit of the best version of yourself. Yep. Right?
I think people that are naturally more confident, they can probably take those and look and say, okay, where am I not doing well? And they can kind of take that and like the grain of salt and like, they're fine. I think there's a whole different set of people that I've seen, because I feel like I was that person. Yeah. And where I'd be like, I'm not doing good. And I'd be like, oh, I'm not good enough. And then I would start to defeat myself. So the thing that I've learned for me, for my self-awareness, and I think some people this will relate to, some people it may not, but you have to look at River or whoever, whatever your name is, as that's a character in a video game. And you're just the guy that's playing. You're just playing the controls. Mm. So you're just looking at the stats and like, okay, yeah. This is how, like, don't attach yourself to what, like, what your self-awareness is or where you're not doing good and be like, okay, now I'm not good enough. Like, no, these are my stats. Okay, if that's just my stats, how do I get those to be better? Don't like create stories around like, oh, like, man, I messed this up. Now I'm not good enough. And then you start going into self-sabotage.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, just a last
thought. I've done that.
Yeah.
Like I've had the thoughts of, you know, all I am is an individual that's in here in my mind.
Yeah.
Playing this game. This is my avatar.
Yep, exactly.
Out in this game, this world, this life.
Plain sight.
Right? Like, yeah, exactly. Like, I have the ability to control this.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes when I'm out running, I'm in my head and my body's beneath me just doing this.
Yep.
I can create separation from what I'm thinking and detach my mind from my body, because my mind will be, okay, go, go, go. But my body's like, I'm tired, it hurts, it's painful. Either my mind goes down into the pain, right? And that pain starts controlling the mind, where I detach from the neck and stay, control what I can. I'm going to control my breathing. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to die. I'm going to keep going. All this is just me controlling my body underneath me.
Yeah.
Like, it might sound stupid to some people, but
no, it's legit.
Like I've done that.
Yeah.
Right? And so I've never heard anybody else really say that. So I appreciate you, you know, finishing up with that. So I thought maybe it was just me being crazy. Maybe it was just me out there in the middle of nowhere, like playing mind games with myself.
And you're mile nine.
Yeah. Yeah.
For 36 on your.
Yeah. He's going 50 this year in July, but that'll be I'll be in the video game.
Yeah.
That day.
Yeah.
So how do people connect with you if they want to connect with you, man?
Biggest place is my Instagram. So River J Skinner. Would love to connect with any of you guys. I love meeting new people, getting to know people, helping, also learning from you guys.
Yeah.
So please connect with me there, River J Skinner on Instagram.
Yeah, that'll be also in the show notes as well. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having
coming
me.
Out. Thank you for the book, To Tap Into My Inner Hippie.
Yeah.
And the picture.
Don't need weed.
I don't need weed anymore. You know, so... and that's an evolution of self, right? I didn't need that anymore. I can actually tap into my inner hippie without it.
Yeah.
Right? So, and thank you for the picture, that autograph photo of Roger.
Both, man.
Yeah, that's super meaningful.
Love it.
Thank you. Hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. I know I did. Rate and review the show. Keep kicking ass, guys. We'll see you next week.